Today I want to continue on the topic that I've been speaking about, and I've been talking about the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Let's open our Bible to Matthew 13, verse, I think it's like 45. Matthew 13, 45. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all things that he had and bought it." I want to talk to you about the word merchant again. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. What is a modern day word for merchant? Businessman. So can we say that the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman? Can we? Well, it says it's like a merchant, so can we just switch that word and make it more modern and say, the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. Interestingly, when we think about God's kingdom, a lot of times we think that it's something holy, and it's a ministry, you know, just righteousness, and it's all this spirituality, the kingdom of God. But interesting thing that it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. There's a difference between a business person and a worker. Amen. A worker comes to his job, does his work, could care less what happens. If his company makes money, if it's profitable, if it's not, I don't care. If we have customers or if we don't. As long as I get paid. That's the difference. Now, some of you have a job and you're working. And that's the place of your assignment. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not here to say that having a job is bad. But the kingdom of heaven is different from just a job. And God is not looking, as we know, for slaves. God is looking for servants. There's a difference between a slave and a servant. Slave has to do it because he has to. A son or a servant, let's talk about a son. He does it because it's part of his inheritance. So kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. What it means is, it means that kingdom of heaven is a choice. See, at your work, you don't have a choice so much. You do the job that they make you do. But in your business, you make a choice. And you know that kingdom of heaven is a choice. You can choose blessing or you can choose cursing. Bible says you can choose to be blessed or you can choose to be cursed. You can choose life or you can choose death, blessing or cursing. So interesting thing is that the kingdom of heaven is a choice. It's something that we choose to do. Notice about this businessman. He was already a merchant. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who was, let me read this again, seeking fine pearls. Interesting thing, he was already a businessman, but he wasn't satisfied. Usually when you have a job, you're satisfied. When you have a business, you can't be satisfied. I know in my own life, the Lord always talking to me about increasing. To believe God for more. You know, and I've told this before, God said, I was believing God for a small house. God gave me a much bigger house. Then He said, I'm going to give you a bigger house. I build this house, and I'm totally satisfied. And then God, for some reason, kept bothering me. He started saying, I'm going to give you a house of 10,000 square feet. And I said, I don't want a house of 10,000 square feet. And He said, I want to give you. And I was struggling with this for many years. I've said it before. How many of you heard me say it before? But I didn't want to believe it. I was like, it's too big. We're going to need to have somebody clean it. Well, my wife said, she's like, if you're going to have that big of a house, you're going to have somebody clean it. And then I heard a message by Jesse Duplantis. How many of you know who he is? Jesse Duplantis. And he said that God said the same thing to him. He bought one of the best jets there is, you know, because he needs it because he flies around preachers and stuff. And if Hillary has a jet, if Barack has a jet, if McCain has a jet, Huckabee has a bus, but he's believing for a jet. If all these guys have jets, you know, what are they doing? They're campaigning, right? What are we doing? We're campaigning. We're supposed to spread the kingdom and the word, the good news. They're usually saying the country is broken, the Washington is broken, everybody's broke, people are struggling, and that's true, somewhat. But notice the difference between their news and our news. Gospel is the good news. Huh.
Notice if you listen to the CNN, Fox, MSNBC, or NBC, whatever you want to do, usually they report bad news. One guy says it's devil news. And we report good news, God news. So what I'm here to do is, I'm not here to tell you how sinful you are, how bad you are. We already know that. I know how bad I am. I'm here to tell you the good news. And so, in order for us to have this news, we got to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. This is what Bible says. Let me read something to you from a chapter before. Is that okay? Chapter 13, Matthew 13, verse 10. And disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered and said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." So kingdom of heaven is what? A mystery. It's not understood easily. See, if you thought Christianity is a whole bunch of rules, you've been deceived. Usually, unbeliever can come to you and say, "I know what Christianity is. It's don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that." Buddy, you're way off. Sorry. You're way off. Because the life that you're living, and if you understood the mysteries, we're all be in trouble. If the lifestyle that you're living, and you know what Christianity is, what kingdom of heaven is, we're all in trouble. Kingdom of heaven is a mystery. It's a secret. Mystery is a secret. We need to uncover it. That's why we come here on Sunday, so the Word of God could be uncovered. And let me continue reading. It says it's a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has what? The knowledge of this mystery. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. You're talking about that he has come to give me life in abundance. Right? We all know that verse. John 10:10. You will have no life with abundance unless you know the mystery. And notice this. If you have no knowledge of the mystery, it will not be added to you. It will be subtracted. Let me read this again. I'm excited. For whoever has what? Let me read what? Previous verse. To you it has been granted. For whoever has this mystery, to him more shall be given, and they will have an abundance. So the mystery, when you understand these principles that Alex talked about, they will bring an abundance in our life. If you only think Christianity is a religion, you got a problem. You don't know the mystery. I'm sorry I'm taking so much time here, but I'm just trying to make it clear. If you stop cussing, if you stop doing something that you think is bad, your life might not improve that much. Knowing these mysteries will improve your life. Knowing them will make it better. Of course, they cannot work without righteousness. Right? But you can be the most honorable person. You can be almost without sin and still be broke and still live opposite of abundance and be miserable. That's right. But God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth." He didn't say, "Be less and less, divide." You remember in the Bible it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be subtracted from you." Your Bible. See, some people think that we seek God and it's all things will be subtracted from us. It's not true. Bible says seek the kingdom, and notice sometimes we don't understand what it is. It's these mysteries of the kingdom. Seek them and everything else will be added to you. I'll clap for myself. Thank you, Lord. Now, watch how stupid it is to seek everything else but not the kingdom first. It's like this. I gotta buy a plane. What do I do? Who do I rob? I gotta buy a plane. I got a plane. I stole it or I got it somewhere. You know how we are. I gotta get some money. What do I do? I'm so stressed out. I'm panicking. I'm going to have panic. This is what happens. When we start seeking those things that should be added to us, instead the kingdom. And kingdom is the mysteries. It's like a businessman. So we got to understand what businessman is like to understand what kingdom is like. So I start searching for a plane. And I got a plane, and I can't get it off the ground. So I paint it, you know, put a fence around it, put some dirt, bring some dirt in and seed it, mow around it. Look at me, I got a plane! Hallelujah! What was my problem? I didn't learn the mystery of flying the plane. Who knew? So you see why God says, seek first what? The mystery of the kingdom. We can say the kingdom of God. It's the way of doing things. What is the kingdom of God? Because there's kingdom of God and there's kingdom of Satan. You remember when Jesus was on the mountain and he was fasting and Satan came to him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all these things have been given to me. If you bow down, I will give them to you. So Satan has a kingdom. Well, he doesn't really possess the physical part of it. What does it mean, the kingdom? It's the way of doing things. It's a system. There is a God system, and there is a world system. And most of us grew up not in a God system. We grew up in this world system. So we know how to get money the world way. How to entertain ourselves the world way. We know how to get drunk. We know how to, you know, smoke some stuff to be happier for a moment. But notice those things do not add on to us. After you've done it, they decrease out of you. Divorce, depression, destruction. Help me out. Deception. What else? Division. Notice all these words. You know, if you seek the devil kingdom, so he has the kingdom. And Jesus says, I don't want your kingdom. In Matthew, I think it is, 11:12. Let me read to you what Jesus said. Matthew 11:12, it says this. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Today I'm going to give a definition. What is violent? And what does it mean to take it by force? What's the difference between the kingdom of Satan that we all grew up in and it's on TV and it's everywhere and the kingdom of God? How do you get healed in the kingdom of Satan? Does anybody know? You get some drugs and you kill the pain. Then you get some more drugs because there's side effects. So you get some more drugs to cover the second side effect. Then you get more drugs to cover the third. And you're always one step behind. And by the time you're done, you're worse than when you began. Interesting. So Bible says, seek first the kingdom. And then the plane, seek how to fly first. And then the plane will be added to you. Seek how to drive first. And the car will be added unto you. Seek how to relate with money and respect money. And the money will be added to you. Seek the knowledge. What does Bible says in the area that you need? So let's say you need a healing. What you need to do is you need to seek what Bible says about healing. And you need to grab those scriptures and confess them in your life till you will get healed. You know, I've had problems with my knee. And for my work, I need to climb trees. So I need this knee to be good. And every time I would turn even, I would feel like something in there would be bothering me. I mean, it wasn't a pain, it was like nerves. Yeah, I felt like there was a rock in there. I came to the Word of God, and in Isaiah, I found one verse. It says, by His stripes, we were healed. And I began to confess it. And I confessed it, and nothing happened for about 2 months. And then I said, I got to stop confessing this and forget this. And 2 weeks later or so, I felt my knee and wasn't hurting anymore. And there was no rock in there. It felt like that bone was connected again. See, you have to use the scripture and you have to believe it. There is a kingdom way to be healed. There is a kingdom way to be rich. Do you know the scriptures? It's impossible for the rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And a lot of people, religious people, they misunderstood that. It is impossible because rich man is so proud in his riches that it's hard for him to humble himself. But listen to what the Bible says. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. So God wants to enter you into kingdom the way you are. Poor, broke, disgusted, busted, whatever. And then he wants to make you rich. See, the religious people say, look, it's impossible for the rich man to enter the kingdom. Yeah, but it's not impossible to become rich once you are in a kingdom. My friend Alex, and co-minister, remember a few weeks ago he came out and he counted how much money he's saving because he stopped smoking. A pack of cigarettes a day, but he stopped drinking and going to bars and doing drugs and all these things. He talked about, he said, how much money? Just on cigarettes? $7,000 a year. Look how much devil decreases from us. And for what? That's over 25% of what he made. If you look at your life. Oh, Jesus. So you see, for the rich man, it's impossible to enter because he needs to humble himself and say, Lord, I'm poor. I'm nothing. I'm broke. It's not because of my money that I'm entering in. But once you entered, remember what the Bible says? He became poor so we can become rich. See, God has a way. Religion says, no, you got to be poor, you got to be a monk, you got to be this and that. Well, how are we going to spread the kingdom? How are we going to print the Bibles if everybody's poor? How are we going to feed the homeless? How are we going to save the lost? How are we going to provide food for people? Clothing in different third world countries. We need people. And that's why God spoke to me and He said, you got to teach the people to be kingdom minded. Because the kingdom of heaven is like a businessman. Are you sitting dormant and just being a worker in the kingdom of God as a Christian? Are you saying, well, I went to church on Sunday and that's enough for me? Is there more gifts that you have where you can make more money, where so you don't have just for yourself, but you have in abundance, more than enough, so you can be able to give to others? That's what the Bible says. Tom Stammen, how many of you know Tom Stammen? He called me a while back, not too long ago, 3 weeks ago or so, and he said, God is going to have millionaires in your church. And he says, and you're going to have to teach him how to become ones. I got excited when he said that. He said, you're going to have millionaires in your church. And I said, oh, great. I was thinking they're going to come, you know. But I always knew this. God says, no. You're going to teach them how to become millionaires. So listen, if you're sitting here and you think this is so far away, I don't know if this could happen to me. Guys, I want you to start believing this anointing that is in this place. You can be a small business owner. You can be a great multi-business owner. You could be a lawyer. You could be a politician. You can be a doctor. Imagine bringing the kingdom principles into the sphere of your influence. Hallelujah. Kingdom of heaven is advanced by force. Let's talk about that. Let me read this again so you know what I'm reading. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Let me give you another translation. Let me give you NIV. From the day of John the Baptist until now, until when? Now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. What is the kingdom of heaven again? It's those mysteries that are not available for everybody. They're not available for religious people. They're available to those who take it by force, to whom it has been granted. I know it has been granted to me. What about you? It has been granted to us, believers. Do you remember Paul prays for Ephesians? He says, God, open the eyes of their understanding so they may know what is the hope of their calling and what is the riches of their your glory for those who believe. There's riches available for us. in the area of our influence.
Hallelujah.
Let me read to you TLB. And from the time of John the Baptist began preaching and baptizing until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and the violent people attack it.
Ooh.
Attack it. Grab it. Notice, kingdom of heaven is not given. It's not given to you. I'm just waiting for the Lord, you know. If God wants to bless me, He'll do it. I'm just waiting for the Lord for my healing. If God wants to heal me, then He could do it. Imagine that woman with an issue of blood. If Jesus wants to come here, well, He can do it. Remember of those lepers, 10 lepers. Oh, if Jesus wants to, you know, He can find us. Advance forcefully, and the violent take it by force. So notice, the kingdom is not given to you, it is taken. A lot of us, we misunderstood the doctrine of election or predestination. And we come and say, if God wants to bless me, if God wants to make me a minister, if God wants me to evangelize, then He'll do it. What are you going to do? Notice, imagine Paul saying that if God wants to use me, He can somehow fly me like He did Philip from this city to the next city. I don't have to walk. Paul didn't do that. He walked. I mean, miles and miles and miles he walked. If God wants me to preach the gospel, then He better stop people from beating me up. I just don't like this being beat up and being in jail and, you know, being stoned to death and almost drowning. What is this? I'm just going to sit on my couch made of straw and just relax and pray. See, that's what a lot of us do. You misunderstood election. And I did too, guys. For many years, there was a moment special in my life when I said, if God wants to, you know, me to evangelize, then He should bring people. I'll preach to them. I'm a good preacher. I should, you know, they should just come. God should bring them. I would do that. I don't do that anymore because He spoke to me. And He said, let me read what He said. Work hard like I'm not helping you. But after you accomplished it, give me glory like you didn't do anything. Paradoxical, isn't it? Messed up with my mind for about a year after He said that. I'll never forget this. I know where I was when He said it. I was driving to church on 14th Street from 18th to 14th. I stopped at the Cliff Light. And that's when He said, work as hard if you know I'm not helping you. If. I know He's helping you. But how hard would we work? How much more would we try if we knew that God wasn't going to help us? We would work like those business people in the world. We would work hard. The kingdom of heaven is like, He works, He goes and makes it happen. He goes and grabs the opportunities. He knows if you're a musician, you need to grab the opportunities. If you're a singer, you need to grab the opportunities. If you're a business mindset, you need to listen where God tells you to go. Well, I'm not ready. I'm this and that. Well, don't expect God to move mightily in your life then. Let me talk to our musicians here. I know that Audrey and Ilya, they write awesome songs. We sing their songs. Center of Life sings their songs now. Guys, they're not going to come here in Sioux Falls and find you. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God suffers. It expands with force. You're going to have to pray, yes. You're going to have to practice your talent, yes. 10 hours a day. How many of you know Michael Phelps, that swimmer guy? I mean, he was eating 12,000 calories a day. Yeah, I mean, if you see his breakfast, it was crazy. As you see his lunch, I mean, like coffee, donuts, I mean, like a lot of white bread, egg sandwiches, 3 a.m, you know. I mean, this guy was practicing, and no wonder he's number one in the world. I mean, he took it by force. But he did it behind the scenes. So when he comes on the scene, so don't think it's going to be easy. It's not going to be given to you. It's not going to be just laid at your lap and say, would you take this and sign this contract, please? Let me think about it. I remember I heard an interview with a musician. And he said he knew that he had some awesome songs. And so he would go to radio stations and ask them to play. And he would go to different cities and meet with different people and try to connect. And you know who I'm talking about? Your favorite band. What is it, Eli? New Jerusalem. I heard his interview and I heard what he said. He said, I've been running around. He had a band and they didn't do it. The reason people know them is because he tried. He used force. Okay? All right. So, I just want to say, don't be lazy. Don't feel like it's going to come and fall into your lap. Interesting word that the Bible is using, violence. Why violence? Isn't violence bad? If you're violent in your family, if you're violent in school, if you're violent at your job, it's bad. But I noticed that there's only like about one word in the Bible about violent in a good sense. God, Jesus wants us to be violent when it comes to fulfilling our purpose in life. It expands violently. Don't just think that the devil is going to sit there and say, come on in, take my kingdom. Take over it. No, you're going to have to fight every inch, every mile, every step of the way. God says, I'm going to be raising stars. Listen, stars. You got to get this first principle, because before you get anything else, it's going to come by force. Now, what is the difference between being stressful and panic, being in anxiety and force? Let's look what force is, okay? And we're almost finished. Last thing we're going to look at, what does it mean to take it by force? Does it mean you go and become a racketeer? Does it mean that you become a mobster? Does it mean that you become a bank robber? What does it mean to take it by force? Do you go and become a bully? Give me your money, because I got to do the kingdom thing. What does it mean to take it by force? Let's name spiritual forces. Love. Is love a spiritual force? Can you see it? But when you love somebody, it pulls you towards them. If somebody is not being pulled towards you, they don't love you. So love is a force. It's invisible, but it will make you. And God is love. And God is a force, right? What else is a force? I want to say faith is a force. Faith is a spiritual force. Blessing is a spiritual force. It's a force. You can't see it. Like gravity. Can you see gravity? But try jumping off the building. You'll know that it's there. Do you see love? Did anybody here ever seen love? You've seen a Cupid, maybe. You've seen... You love somebody, but can you see love? No, you see it's what? Fruit. You see results of it, manifestation of it. But love is a force. Third one is wisdom. Wisdom is a spiritual force. No, the Bible says that God created this world with wisdom. So when it say, and the violent take it by force, what do we mean? What does Jesus mean? He means use love violently. Woo! That's weird, isn't it? I need to love with everything, with force. Is it easy to love somebody after you've been married with them for 5 or 8 years? It's not easy all the time. Yeah, there is those days when you're easy. But how can I love the people around me forcefully, by force? Meaning it takes effort. And that's how the kingdom is expanded. By force. Now, how do I get things from God? Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I please God by forcefully believing. Do I always want to believe? No. Especially when somebody, you know, you just don't want to believe. Doubt, you know, Satan sends doubt in your heart. But you believe forcefully. You make yourself believe. You know, if somebody said, I only love you when I feel like it. Imagine what kind of marriage that would be. But we love in marriage when we feel and when we don't feel. And after we forcefully love somebody, we get the results of it. We get this closeness and we get this feeling back that we thought we lost. You know, a lot of people say, we fell out of love. That's why we need to get divorced. Whatever. You just stop forcefully loving somebody. You're used to. You used to want to spend every moment with them. You used to want to do everything for them, bring flowers every day of the week. You want to spend time with them, but the kingdom spreads forcefully. Now, in business, you're going to need to use wisdom forcefully. In every area, if you're lazy, you're going to have to use diligence forcefully. Diligence is a force. If you're lazy, that's the one you need. Diligent force. It's going to be taken by force. If we want to evangelize and have many people come to Jesus, we're going to have to do it by force. No, we don't force. And we don't twist their hand and say, come to church. And you know, no way. We have to be forceful on ourselves with evangelism. Because the violent take it by force. If you need healing, you're going to need to believe forcefully. If you need miracle in your marriage, you're going to have to love forcefully and believe God forcefully. You're going to take it by force. It's not going to be, the devil is not going to allow you to have trouble-free marriage. It's going to have to be taken. Devil, I will not let you ruin my marriage, my business, my family, my relationships. I will not allow you. Because I'm going to take it by force. It's mine. I deserve to have a good marriage. I deserve to have good financial standing.